الحمد لله نحمده
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله
ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
السلام على بارك سيدنا محمد.
كما ذكرنا في الدرس الماضي من دروس شرح العقيدة الواسطية
through the book of العقيدة الواسطية
شيخ الإسلام
ابن تيمية رحمه الله
هذا الكتاب المبارك عددا كبيرا من الآيات القرآنية الكريمة
have brought in his book so many verses from the Quran
صفات الله سبحانه
that has confirmation evidence to the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In every attribute he mentioned, he brought verses as an evidence to prove the attribute he's talking about. And the last attribute we talked about is love.
In
he brought several verses regarding the attribute of love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
المحبة بصفة عامة تنقسم إلى درجات في
لغة general العرب has different levels in the Arabic language
قالوا العلاقة
and the relationship
والإرادة والصلاة
and the willingness and
والمودة
والشغف
والتعبد
these are all words mean different level of love
الخلة فهذه هي أنواع المحبة. المحبة تنقسم إلى هذه الأنواع.
I don't know if there is in English the equivalent to these words the Sheikh used.
أدنى درجات المحبة هي العلاقة. وأعلى درجات المحبة.
The least of them is the relationship and the.
وذكر العلماء أن.
The most, the highest is الخلة.
لا يوصف الله سبحانه وتعالى من هذه الأنواع إلا. بأربعة هي التي وردت في.
From among all of these levels, four of them are mentioned as an attribute to Allah سبحانه وتعالى.
سيجعل لهم الرحمن ودا وهنا إيه وهو الغفور الودود الإرادة.
ودود as a affectionate. And irada, which is willingness, and mahabba means love, and khil means khulla.
واتخذ الله إبراهيم خليلا.
As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mentioned in the ayah that Allah has taken Ibrahim as a khalila.
كما اتخذ إبراهيم.
It is a close relationship.
وصفة المحبة. للآيات الكثيرة التي أوردها المؤلف يحبهم ويحبهم
الخليل is a person that is very very close to you
وقالوا إن العشق لا يوصف به الرب سبحانه وتعالى ولا يوصف به العبد
the word that is used as a عشق
العشق هو من
is also a different level of love it's not attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a servant is not attributed by عشق when he in relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
لم يرد نص يدل على ذلك
The most important reason for that was it was not mentioned in any text. And in the language, the Arabic language, al-ishq is the love accompanied by desire. So in terms of love of the servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this language is this word is not used in here and this is where we find the mistake of the Sufis when they use this word in trying to describe a love relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
بحسب ما وردنا من النصوص يعني لم يأو يعني بعبارة أصح يعني نقول لم يرد في النصوص أن الله تعالى اتخذ أحدا من عباده خليلا سوى
and from the Quran محمد we don't know of anybody who reached the relationship of خليل to Allah سبحانه وتعالى except إبراهيم and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the love and affection is for the mu'mins and the pure in general. Here the author inshallah will mention, we will go through the verses he have brought regarding mercy and forgiveness.
قال بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال وقوله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا وسعت كل شيء رحمة وعلما وكان بالمؤمنين رحيما
this verses the Sheikh has mentioned in here
كتب ربكم على نفسه الرحمة
And ever is he to believer merciful. I affect with it whom I will, but my mercy encompass all things. And in Surah Al-An'am, it says, Your Lord has decreed upon Himself mercy. And in Surah Yunus, He says, And He is the forgiving, the merciful. And he says also in Surah Yusuf, but Allah is the best guardian and he is the most merciful of merciful. So it is one of the names also of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim.
المرحوم الرحمن دال على صفة الرحمة الذاتية القائمة
الرحمن is
على صفة الرحمة
the attributes of Allah سبحانه وتعالى as to be a merciful الرحيم is what extended to people to somebody who gained the mercy
سبحانه وتعالى بالرحمة العامة بالرحمة العامة التي يرحم بها المؤمن والكافر.
The other meaning is الرحمن means the mercy that goes in general to everybody, Muslims and kafir.
يعافيهم من بعض الآفات في الدنيا.
As if he heals people from illness and protect them. From physical harms, whether they are Muslims or not. Ar-Rahim, the special mercy that he has for the mu'mins, or the mu'mins, the believers, which will eventually get them to paradise and forgive them. And the proof for that is the verse Surah Al-Ahzab when he says, And ever is he to the believers merciful. And in Surah Al-An'am when he says, Your Lord has decreed upon himself mercy. And here when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned forgiveness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yunus it says and he is forgiving the merciful and forgiveness here also means covering up on under mistakes and their shortcomings and erase the traces of these sins and mistakes for his believer or his servant. So the meaning also of the forgiveness is to erase it and from the servant servant's record in the Day of Judgment. So from these verses we conclude mercy and forgiveness to be part of his attributes in his names. So we don't say that his mercy is like a human being's mercy on others, but it's a mercy that fits his status. And now he has verses regarding rida, pleasure, and the anger. These are the verses. Sifat al-Rida, which is the attribute of the pleasure, as in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayah 119, Allah says, Allah being pleased with them, and they with Him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as attributes, one of His attributes, He feel pleased with His servants, and the servant also feel pleased with what Allah give him, as in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua in the morning, I accept or pleased to believe. To be pleased to accept Allah as a Lord, and this is part of the pleasure. And in other verses, is the and the pleasure from Allah was mentioned as a verb and an attribute.
وقالوا في تفسير قوله تعالى ورضوا عنه.
And we sit in the tafsir of the verse and they are pleased with him, as the mu'min feel pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
بمعنى أنه يظن أنه يؤتى أحد خيرا منا.
To the point that the servant would not think anybody got as much as he got in reward in the Day of Judgment. He would not feel like he is short of anything in the Day of Judgment than other people. He will get all what he desires and he wishes for and more. And then the author mentioned other verses regarding anger, like in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 93.
Said,
but whoever kills a believer intentionally, his recompense in hell, wherein he will abide eternally, and Allah has become angry with him and has cursed him.
وقوله فلما
in Surah Muhammad, that is because they followed what angered Allah and disliked what earns his pleasure. So he entered worthless their deeds.
كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون.
And in Surah Zukhruf, and when they angered us, we took retribution from them and drowned them all. In Surah Tawbah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if they had intended to go forth, they would have prepared for it, some preparation, but Allah disliked their being sent, so He kept them back, and they were told, remain behind with those who remain. Sifat is that what reflects the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the attributes of action are different. So like the action attributes is what Allah does in specific time when He wills to do them.
يفعله سبحانه وتعالى والغضب
The anger was mentioned in the hadith that the Prophet that the Prophet would say in the day of judgment that Allah has become angry in this day as if he ever been angry before. Not now we understand from this, these are attributes of action, the anger, it's not always in this state, unlike the attributes of knowledge and living, they are different. This misguided group like Al-Asha'ira, they twist this attribute and say anger is the willingness to punish. They say it is the boiling the chest, and this attribute is not fit for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because anger means boiling in the chest.
ثم زادوا على ذلك ففسروها بغيرها يعني كأنهم وقعوا في
they have made three mistakes in قلوبهم in their heart they understood anger there as if it was a human being anger and that's the first mistake they made. When a person's chest gets angry and boiling, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets angry, but it is not the same as anger of a human being, and this is the first mistake they made. They understood this as if it was the same anger of a human being. We understand the meaning as it is, and we don't dig into the how. This is the first misguiding regarding this. The second misguidance is they have disabled Allah from such attributes. And the third, they have explained it with a different meaning. They redefined this in a different meaning, as if it was the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He punish people. The group of Mu'attila, unlike the Ash'ariya, they had only two dalala. They said they have refused to acknowledge or to confirm with the willingness, with the attributes of love and anger. They denied the meaning of it. And they use different definition other than the true definition of these attributes. The other group
لكن رغم ذلك فالعلماء يعدون بدعة التعطيل أسوأ لأن المعطلة عندهم جرأة على
The other misguided group, which are called the Mu'attila, those who denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala His attribute that He does not get angry and He does not love and He does not get pleased. And this is the worst kind of misguidance in all these deviated groups. All the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should confirm them without going into the how and without comparing them with the human beings.
هنا فيه أن إثبات صفتي السخط.
Here in this ayah, Surah Muhammad, that is because they followed what angered Allah and disliked what earns His pleasure.
واقتراف المحرمات. وكرهوا رضوانه هذا فيه إثبات صفة الرضا أيضا لله.
When the ayah says and they refused to earn His pleasure, that means He has a pleasure in this surah.
آسفون انتقمنا منهم آسفون يعني أغضبون.
And when they angered us, we took retribution from them. So the word يأسف here means angered, and this is proved in this surah. Zukhruf, And here he's talking about the Pharaoh of Egypt and his followers. And in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but Allah disliked their being sent. And here is also to hate something or to dislike something. And great is hatred in the sight of Allah that they say what you do not do. Here this is a higher grade of dislike to a great hatred. That is one of Allah's attributes. Always these attributes, when we understand the meaning of it, we understand from it what confirm that it is attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laughs. The companion of the Prophet ﷺ, when he heard the Prophet ﷺ says, Allah has laughed, and he said, we will never get less than great reward from a God that laughs, as he felt good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laughs. We don't say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laughs with his mouth open or to see his teeth or any of that. We do not confirm what he did not confirm to himself. Whatever he did not mention, we do not mention. We say that Allah laughs. Whatever from the laugh that fits Allah's status, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not what the human being needs to laugh. So we understand from that that subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has the attribute of laughing, and it confirms His mercy. Here he mentioned some verses from the Quran to confirm and prove the arrival and the coming as an attribute, as attributes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes and arrives.
وقوله أو قوله هل ينظرون إلا
and in Surah Al-Baqarah, do they await but that Allah should come to them in covers of clouds and the angels as well, and the matter is then decided, and to Allah all matters are returned.
في ظلل من الغمام والملائكة وقضي الأمر. ما الفرق بين معنى القراءتين؟ قراءة في ظلل يأتيهم الله في ظلل من الغمام
Allah should come والملائكة to them in covers of clouds and the angels.
يعني يأتي الله سبحانه وتأتي الملائكة. أما في القراءة الأخرى معناها أن الله تعالى يأتي في ظلل من الغمام وفي ظلل من الملائكة.
The two different readings of the ayah means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes with the in the clouds of the angels and the other clouds, or with the angels. They are the difference in meaning. Here in Surah Al-An'am, do they then wait for anything except that the angels should come to them, your Lord should come, or that there will come some of the signs of your Lord? And in Surah Al-Fajr, know when the earth has been leveled, bounded, and cursed, and your Lord has come, and the angels rank upon rank, and mention the day when the heavens will split open with the emerging clouds, and the angel will be sent down in successive descent. So coming and arrival is part of the attributes regarding his nature, or not his action. So he will come to rule between regarding any dispute. Do they then wait for anything except that the angel should come to them, or your Lord should come? Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, here they say the Lord comes by himself. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means he comes by himself, and it's part of believing in his attributes as part of his nature. The misguided people, or the deviated people, they say they always start with the misunderstanding of the meaning first. They say coming and arrival requires action and feet, and so they start comparing between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the creator, the creation. And this is the first problem they ran into when they compare between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what he created. And this is the first problem. And then they deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the attribute itself. And then they go into the trouble and trying to redefine the attribute itself. They make the coming or the arrival of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, but his mercy, but or his will, or they make an interpretation. And this is like they are tampering with the text, because they are adding something. They don't add it into the book by writing it or saying it, but in their explanation of the verses, they add to an altered the ayah. They make the arrival and the coming of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condition to his mercy or his punishment. Or they deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the attribute of coming or arrival. But the madhab of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah understand this as part of Allah's attribute, and coming closer, another attribute that Allah comes closer or near. Shaykh al-Islam says the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala comes close to the servant
بفعله القائم بنفسه سبحانه وتعالى وأن الله تعالى ينزل إلى السماء
الله سبحانه وتعالى comes to the world's first heaven, or the first heavens.
إذا كان المراد بالمجيء
the author says here, if the coming means the coming of the mercy or the punishment, it should have been conditioned in the Quran. It should say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came with such mercy or with his punishment. But if the verse says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes by himself, then we should not condition this to any condition. We should understand it as we understand the word itself, as the Arabs understood the same word, without going into the explanation of how, or trying to make it in comparison with the human being coming or arrival to a place.
الذي بمعنى مجيء الرحمة أو مجيء العذاب نجده إيه مقيدا بذلك في النصوص مثل قوله تعالى
حتى ولقد kind of arrival بكتاب meaning على علم a punishment or mercy, like in the verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions sometimes when he says, when he comes with a book. So if it is tied to a condition, bringing something, that it was mentioned in the Quran. So there is a difference between when he ties or conditions. Arrival was something, it is mentioned, but if he says he comes by himself, we understand it as such that he himself would come and he does it when he wills and he wants.
قوله تعالى وجاء ربك والملك صفا
and when he says
الملك أي الملائكة صفا صفا أي مصطفى
when the earth has been leveled founded and cursed and your Lord has come and the angel rank upon rank
ذكر المفسرون في الآثار الواردة
the people the mufassirs when they try to make tafsir to this ayah they said that the angels will be in lines, seven lines. The angel of the first heaven, which is called dunya heaven, has its own one line, and every heaven has its own line assigned to it. As the ayah mentioned.
بعد ذلك ذكر بعض الآيات
في
إثبات صفة الوجه لله سبحانه وتعالى
to prove the attributes of Allah having has a face.
اللي هي وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا ويوم تشقق السماء بالغمام
And mentioned the day when the heavens will split open with emerging clouds and the angels will be sent down in successive descent. When they made a tafsir to al-ghamam, which is clouds, they said, from the ghamam, the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فهو الغمام تشقق السماء بالغمام الغمام الذي هو ظلل الذي هو الظلل التي يأتي فيها رب العالمين سبحانه وتعالى.
The cloud that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes in.
يعني وتتنزل الملائكة تنزل. طيب بعد ذلك ذكر كما ذكرنا آيات في إثبات صفة الوجه لله
that abuse of face to Allah سبحانه وتعالى
صفات ذات الرب
like in سورة الرحمن and this is one of his attributes and they will remain the face of your Lord honor of majesty and honor and in سورة القصص everything will be destroyed except his face
وجه ربك
and when we go to the first ayah in Surah Al-Rahman ayah 27 nothing will remain except the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the one who does not die everything will be destroyed except his face the Jalal and Ikram means the majesty and the honor and here the honor would be for the prophets and the messengers and his righteous servants. Everything will be destroyed except his face. Everything will go except his face. He is the remained one.
إثبات صفة الوجه لله سبحانه وتعالى
Here, confirming the attributes of the face
للرب سبحانه وتعالى ومن قواعد السلف الصالح في تفسير
the rules of explaining
أنه أحيانا التفسير بالمتضمن يعني بالمعنى الذي تتضمنه الصفة
the تفسير comes from the the full meaning of the attributes in the verse itself.
المؤولة من الأشاعرة والماتريدية والكلابية وغيرها من الأشاعرة والماتريدية.
These deviated groups.
المعنى الحقيقي للصفة. فمثلاً
for example.
صفة الوجه
the attributes of faith. And there will remain the face of your Lord. The, what's meant in here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain after everything else goes. This is the meaning, the face here means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain. But also it says, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a face. But we say the Lord will remain after everything else goes. It does not mean the only thing will remain from Allah is the face. This is not what it means. And all the attributes will go. No, what we mean in here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord Himself, will remain. And this is the tafsir without denying the attributes of face. If He did not have a face, He would have not used the face to mean what He wanted to mean, as Himself being after everything.
تجد في تفسير الآية عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه وعن غيره من الصحابة والسلف يقولون يعني في رعايتنا وفي حفظنا وفي
like in سورة القمر and we carried him on a construction of planks and nails sailing under our eyes. This explanation of this verses, the deviated group says that the eyes means the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
يقولون إن الله سبحانه وتعالى من صفاته أنه له عينان.
أهل السنة والجماعة understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the attributes of eyes, and we confirm that He has eyes, and we believe it is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it contains the care and the protection too. So the eye here also contain the meaning of the protection and care, and the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah do not deny the meaning of Al-Ain also as a caring and protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we do not deny that He has eyes, unlike the Asha'ira and the Mu'awwila, who say that He does not have eyes. What He means by that is only the care and the protection of Allah. So if any, in any other case, if it's the eyes are meant, that means the care and the protection. When it comes to the hands, they say that it means the power. We understand that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the hands, He also means the power of Allah. And Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah understand that meaning that is in the attribute itself, but we do not deny that Allah subhanahu, we don't deny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has the attribute itself, and that's why He used the word in order to express power. And there will remain the face of your Lord. We understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain, the Lord Himself will remain, not only the face, but it has a part of the whole meaning. He will be as with the face.
سيأتينا إن شاء الله الكلام عنها وأنه جمع ولكن المراد به التسمية كما سيأتي. كل شيء هالك إلا وجهه.
Everything will be destroyed except His face.
كل شيء هالك إلا ذات الرب سبحانه وتعالى أو إلا الرب سبحانه وتعالى. هذا تفسير بالمعنى المتضمن لكن نثبت لله سبحانه وتعالى صفة الوجه ونقول من معاني الآية.
The same thing applies to this verse just like the other one before it. That we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, part of the meaning of the face in here is He Himself will remain after everything else destroyed.
طيب نرد عليهم بردود منها
We answer this misguided people by saying that
عطف الوجه على الله سبحانه وتعالى وهذا يدل على أن الوجه غير ذات الله سبحانه وتعالى وأنه صفة أخرى.
And linguistically, the Sheikh here is saying that in the way it was the letters and the vowels are used.
وبوجهه الكريم.
Those who seek Allah's protection by Allah and His face in one of the verses.
الله تعالى الوجه إليه فقال وجه ربك ويبقى وجه
And then also in this verse he says ويبقى وجه ربك and they will remain the face of your Lord. So if Allah means the Lord will remain, he could have said the Lord will remain. But he used the face of your Lord means that's part of anybody will hear that will understand that Allah and His face will remain. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have described his face by the majesty and honor. Linguistically speaking, the Jalal and Ikram are related to the face. From the grammar of the sentence in the verse, it proves that these are related to the face. The face itself is described by majesty and honor that others gained. The difference in the two words ذو and ذا الجلال والإكرام explains that one has to do with the attributes of Allah and one has an attribute of the face which proves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a face. The attribute has to have condition, so the vocabulary has to be used with the meaning, used with its own meaning. The Sheikh is saying there are three conditions for the attributes make an interpretation to the word. Face linguistically is what the first thing you look at or you see, and this is in the Arabic language. This is what it means. So when we add this to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, we say. What fits his status. So the Arab never used the wajh as to be only meaning the person himself or herself. So there is no proof for their use of the word wajh or face as a meaning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's himself. Here comes the author to the attributes of hand. If you read in the misguided people's books, the confirmation of attributes, you find few of them confirmed, and the ones that are denied, you find a lot of denial in their books. Unlike the Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, you find so many confirmation of attributes and few denied. So to confirm attribute Allah, you find details regarding. And the attributes that are denied regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are very few.
إثبات مقابله يعني النفي إذا لم يتضمن إثبات ما يقابله لا يكون مدحا ولا يكون كمالا يعني هؤلاء أهل البدع مثلا عندما
the people of innovation for example when they deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk what is the praising Allah if they say Allah doesn't talk or doesn't speak what kind of addition they added to Allah's status for that what doesn't talk except things without soul it's not something honorable to deny Allah of having it
ذات كمال قدرته ينفون عنه اللغوب أي التعب
When the Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah deny some of the attributes, they deny things that are dishonoring him, like sleeping or dying or aggression or injustice is denied by Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah. So negative things are denied, unlike the people of Ta'wil, the deviated people, they deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes that does not add anything to his status by denying them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْهِ
Allah said, O Iblis, what prevented you from prostrating to what which I created with my hands? And in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Ayah 64, and the Jews say, the hand of Allah is chained. Chained are their hands, and cursed are they for what they say. Rather, both his hands are extended. He spins however he wills. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first ayah when he says, O Iblis, what prevented you from what prostrating to which I created with my hands is that means to us that he created them directly by his hands. He created Adam by directly by his hand with no nothing from outside, and that is to honor Adam. And in Surah Al-Ma'idah, the Jews said Allah's hands are chained, and that means they are trying to.
أيده موثقة لأن هذا التصوير
trying to
في قول اليهود
mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stingy and does not give and that's a horrible attribute to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has denied this attribute to himself and he said rather both his hands are extended he spins however he wills And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them for what they said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous, the ever-giving. So these verses are to confirm and prove the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having hands.
يفسرون أو يؤولون صفة اليد
بمعنى القدرة أو بمعنى here use the word hand as an ability or power or bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes with that meaning they claim this is what comes in the Arab language but it was never mentioned that in the Arab language that the hand means bounty
The
Arabs never use the he has somebody has two hands on me meaning two bounties on me. So the vocabulary of hand is not used except when it means the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but hands that are fit his status. Also, we must mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking to Iblis, Shaitan, and he was trying to prove the status of Adam over Shaitan. So he's mentioning that he was made by his hand, and this is an honor or a status over Iblis. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not have hands, then there would not be any extra thing for Adam or an honor for Adam to be made by his hand if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not have hands. If the hands means the ability, that will mean that two hands means two abilities. And we never heard of such a use of the word. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two abilities. We never heard such claim. Allah here in this ayah says he spends both his hands. So using two hands to two ni'mah or two bounties and or to make it two abilities or two powers, the interpretation in here of the word is does not fit at all. He goes now to confirm the attributes of eyes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said in Surah At-Tawr, you are in our eyes sight, and we created him on a construction of blanks and nails sailing under our eyes as reward from he who had been denied. And in Surah Taha, and I bestowed upon you love from me that you would be brought up under my eye. What the meaning of eyes in here, part of the meaning of eyes is the care and protection and the supervision or observation of Allah's care. But we do not deny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has eyes. He sees the human being and with his eye. He protect and watch and protect his righteous servants. And here when he said, and we carried him on construction of blanks and nails, so that means a big ship with a lot of pieces of wood, blanks of wood that are close to one another by nails. Sailing under our eyes. We here understand it by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala contained in that word. It is under his supervision. In our care, it is running in our care or sailing in our care and under our supervision. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means in this verses. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to deny himself the attribute of eyes, he would have said sailing under our care. But he didn't, but to prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has eyes and what the eye means in the verse as also a care and protection, but not to deny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has eyes.
جَزَاءً لِمَنْ كَانَ كُفِرْ يعني أَغْرَقْنَاهُمْ عُقُوبَةً لَهُمْ عَلَى إِيهِ
as a reward for he who had been denied. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored Nuh, but have punished those who disbelieved in him.
قال تعالى عن موسى عليه السلام وألقيت عليك محبة مني
regarding موسى عليه السلام in Surah Taha, he said, and I bestowed up on you love from me that you would be brought up under my eye, meaning in my protection and in my care. And these verses confirm and prove the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has eyes, and we see here also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the word eye and eyes in single and plural.
لكن قالوا إن يعني مسألة جمع الأعين
the plural of eye.
هل ينافي التسنية وأن الله سبحانه وتعالى له عينان؟ قالوا لا ينافي ذلك.
Does it deny Allah سبحانه وتعالى having two eyes? It does not.
قالوا لأن لغة العرب
in the Arab language
يعني تأتي بمشاكلة اللفظ وأنه عند الإضافة إلى الجمع المثنى إذا أضيف إلى الجمع جمع. رغم أنه يدل على معنى التثنية.
In the Arabic language, if two are added to a plural in the Arabic language, it means two.
مما عملت أيدينا أنعاما.
As Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says. What our hands created, you know, in the Arabic language, there is a difference between single and two and more. There is a word for two and a word for one and a word for more than two. So the Sheikh here is explaining why in some of the verses says ayunina more than two eyes, and the Sheikh is saying that in the language, in the Arabic language, when you add the two to a plural, that does not deny that the eyes are two. Like he mentioned in another verse when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we created with our hands, with the word hands in the form of more than two, yet he means two. As in another verse in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking to Aisha and Hafsa, and your hearts have been listening, yet the word that was used is for more than two, but they are two women and have two hearts, so it does not at all conflict with the meaning of two, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two eyes and two hands, even if the word more than two was used. What's meant in here is to confirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has eyes. In the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, these deviated people have used when he mentioned the Antichrist, the Prophet ﷺ described him as with one eye, and Allah is not with one eye, and your Lord does not have only one eye, has two eyes. And from that hadith, I'm sorry, it's not the deviated people who use it, it's the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah use that hadith as a proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two eyes.
ذكر بعض النصوص في إثبات السمع والبصر.
After that, the author here mentioned verses regarding his hearing, and he says in Surah Al-Mujadila.
قال. وقوله قد سمع الله قول التي تجادلك في
Certainly Allah has heard the speech of the one who argues, pleads with you, O Muhammad, concerning her husband and directs her complaints to Allah, and Allah hears your dialogue. Indeed, Allah is hearing and seeing. And also in Surah Al-Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah has certainly heard the statement of those which are the Jews who said, indeed Allah is poor while we are rich. And in Surah Al-Zukhruf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or do they think that we hear not their secrets and their private conversation? Yes, we do, and our messengers, angels are with them recording. And in Surah Taha also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fear not, indeed I am with you both, and I hear and I see. And in Surah Al-Alaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, does he not know that Allah sees? The story of the first mentioned ayah regarding Surah Al-Mujadala, that the woman has been complaining to the Prophet ﷺ. She came to the Prophet ﷺ complaining about her husband treatment. Although Aisha was in the same room and she was talking to the Prophet while the lady was talking to the Prophet in a very, very low voice, to the point that Aisha in the same room couldn't hear him or hear her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was able to hear her, and that gives and confirm the attributes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah hear them. And in other surah also, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah was hearing the Jews when they said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is poor and they are rich. And in Surah Al-Zukhruf, when he also says, or do they think what we that we hear not? We hear not their secrets and their private conversation. Yes, we do, and that means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does hear.
عن اليمين وعن الشمال قاعد يكتبون.
And also he says that he hears their conversation, and moreover he also asks his messengers to record their conversation or what they wrote. In Surah Taha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fear not, indeed I am with you both, and I hear and I see. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see, and when he was talking to Musa and Harun, telling them that I hear what's happening and I see where you are, and that to prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hearing and seeing. We stop here, inshallah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from what we heard.